Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for checking out this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, you can hear our program live weekday morning, 6 till 8 Central Time. There are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows. They're available online. Our web address, of course, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the Morning.
Okay, now I want to begin today's program with a true confession. We are marveling at not only climatic conditions, but how they impact the technology that we're using right now. By the way, good morning. It is 6:04 Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network, just literally seconds before the microphone went on, before the voice there of Bono said, "It's a beautiful day, don't let it slip away." We didn't even have time to compare notes. We were just marveling at the fact that it appears as though there was a major, major lightning strike near our headquarters. I take it that it's probably near our headquarters, Aaron. And yeah, it sounds like, yeah, we're looking at each other through the glass booth here. There was a major lightning strike somewhere near our facilities here. We had what appeared to have been a power surge of sorts. And, but so far, so good. I still got my notes here intact, which is good. And it looks like, you know, the sound's coming. Is the sound coming out of your speakers? I'm getting the intercom speakers in my head. So I guess everything's good. It was a little, how shall I say this? It was kind of hairy. For us, it was sort of one of those experiences where we say, whoa, is everything still functional? But apparently it is. And our flagship affiliate, AM 900 in the Twin Cities, is still broadcasting. The website still is active. So anyway, where were we? It's the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Glad to have you with us. Thank you for being here. I'm here weekday morning, 6 till 8, and it's an honor. It is a pleasure to serve you. Thanks for your support of what we do, by the way, with or without lightning strikes, at our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Let me just put it this way. Let me add to the picture here. When the lights flicker in the building a little bit, you know that there's a pretty powerful lightning strike. And when you hear the rumble of thunder corresponding with the lights flickering in your building, well, you see where it's going. Anyway, we've got some great, insightful people lined up to join us this morning here in our program. Dr. Alex McFarland is author of a book called Truth for a New Generation. And as a matter of fact, he's conducting what he calls the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference. Now, Dr. McFarland will join us into the 7 o'clock hour. He's the director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville, University in Greenville in South Carolina. And he'll join us to talk about what really are the challenges for conveying truth to younger demographics, younger generations here in the United States of America. We have, even just in the, less than 2 months now that I've been hosting this program, we've had some guests on from time to time who are, I would say, in some cases, fairly critical of the millennial generation of Americans, those in their late teens to early 30s. And sometimes the criticism is valid, sometimes not so valid. But in any event, it is a question that I think all of us who are older than the millennial generation, us Gen Xers, those in the boomer generation, we need to be asking ourselves, how are we conveying the truths of the Christian faith, handing down the essential doctrines? How are we discipling the younger demographics? Dr. Alex McFarland joins us in the 7 o'clock hour to talk about that. Also, if you heard the headlines from our network news provider, SRN News, apparently, it would seem, things kind of settled down in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri overnight. It was a little less violent. The uproar seems to be dissipating a little bit. But there are nonetheless some very worthy and worthwhile questions about policing and the practice of law enforcement in our country. And coming up just about half an hour from now, a little less than 30 minutes from now, our great friend Del Walinga He's with the Christian Police Association. He'll join us to talk about some of those concerns that people have about policing and how it transpires in our country. So that's just a smattering of what we've got for you here on Austin Hill in the Morning. When we come back, is there really any such thing as quote-unquote worry-free living? When the lights flicker and the thunder rolls, we get not worried, but a little anxious at times. But far more pressing matters in our personal lives and in our broader world can certainly bring us to a state of worry. We'll talk with author Michael Ross, author of the book Worry Free Living, when we come back. It's now 6:08. Good morning and welcome. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Morning. It's now 6:10. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting what we do at myfaithradio.com. Is there really any such thing as a worry-free life, and what would it be like to actually live a worry-free life? Joining us to talk about this concept of worry-free living, a gentleman who's an award-winning writer and former editor of Breakaway, that's a national magazine for teenage young men, his name is Michael Ross. He joins us now on the guest line. Michael Ross, welcome to the Faith Radio Network. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be with you this morning.
This is a very interesting publication, and it's an idea that some people, I suppose, are kind of skeptical about, but it's encouraging to me. Worry-free living. Tell us about this.
Well, it all began with this quote from the American Psychological Association. They say that America is at a critical crossroads when it comes to stress and our health, and that most of us are suffering from moderate to high stress these days, with 44% reporting that their stress levels have increased over the past 5 years. Now, we here at Back to the Bible and Center for Bible Engagement, we have been studying the spiritual lives of more than 100,000 Christians all over the United States and Canada and other parts of the world. And this whole issue of stress, anxiety, and especially worry has really risen to the top of our study and really confirming what the American Psychological Association is saying. Most of us are suffering these days, and Christians are not immune, and it doesn't have to be that way. We really can live worry-free lives by becoming worry-wise. As we're wise in the way we worry, as we become self-aware, we can move toward worry-free living. It is possible.
Michael Ross, I'm struck with your assessment when you say Christians are not immune from the stresses of our culture and our society. I sort of take that by implication that, in your view, maybe there's an assumption among some of us that we should be immune, or that we are immune, or if I don't feel immune from stress and worry, I'm doing something wrong. Comment on that, if you will, this thought that somehow being a Christian makes you immune to stress.
You know, that seems to be the thinking, you know, through the generations, through the years, that you're a Christian, your life is different. The Bible tells you, don't worry about a thing. But you know what? All of us are worried. You know, we're normal. And we develop this shame, you know, for feeling worried. We begin to think that, wow, maybe my faith isn't strong enough. Maybe I just need to read the Bible more, pray more, go to church more. No, you are normal. Christians are normal. There's a lot to worry about. This world is a difficult place. The Bible talks about that. You know, we are going to be worried from time to time. We are going to be stressed out. It's how we deal with it, what we do with that, that makes the difference. And when we learn those principles, we really can become worry-wise and become worry-free through the process. As we learn the keys of surrender, you know, as we take a look at our bodies and our minds and our health and what we're putting into our bodies and the kind of rest that we're getting every day, or the lack of it. When we look at these things and take the proper steps, we really can live better lives.
Michael Ross is with the Center for Bible Engagement. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. A new book that he's a part of called Worry-Free Living is what we're discussing. How do we become worry-wise when we seek to understand, Michael, the ways in which stress and worry affects not only our minds, but our physical bodies and our spiritual lives as well? How do we become worry-wise, as you say, in the midst of that?
Well, that word, I'll go back to that again, you know, becoming self-aware. You know, in our book, we offer what we call a My Worry Profile. You can take a look at, you know, where you are in this worry continuum, you know, from mild, moderate, you know, to high stress. And then the third part of the book, we offer ways that you can work through this. You know, we also allow you to take a look at your family, you know, your spouse, your kids, loved ones in your lives, and look at their levels of worry, and we offer ideas on what you can do. But we take a look, as I mentioned before, at this whole subject from a mind-body-spirit approach. We take a look at our diet. You know, are we getting the right kind of nutrition we need, our aerobic health? You know, we evaluate our need for relaxation. We are, you know, the most unrested society, if that's a word that isn't, you know, we lack rest. We are so plugged in. We're constantly on the go, sometimes working two or three jobs. Our kids, you know, are on the go constantly. We're in this caffeinated, Starbucks caffeinated state. And so in this book, we talk about unplugging from that and plugging into each other as families, and most important, plugging into the Lord on a daily basis. We lack sleep. You know, our overall lifestyles are driven and not balanced. If I may say one more thing, forgive me, I'm fighting a cold here, so forgive me here. I'll try to get my voice.
I think you're probably stressed like the rest of us, with all due respect here. You know, but we're all living and learning. Yes, we're all in the process of learning these things. Michael Ross is part of the book, Worry-Free Living. He's on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Yep. And so where do you go from there, Michael?
Well, let's jump back just a little bit. Let's look at the physiological things, you know, going on. And we talk about this in great detail in our book. We interview one of the experts on this, Dr. Archibald Hart, who looks at an adrenaline connection to this whole fear, worry, stress cycle. You know, in our bodies, you know, the sympathetic nervous system turns on that fight or flight response, puts us in that caffeinated state that I talked about, while the parasympathetic nervous system promotes the relaxation response. And in healthy folks, most of us, you and I, these turn on and off, you know, on a daily basis. But what we're seeing, what American Psychological Association is seeing, and we're seeing in our research, is this is turning on and it's not shutting off. Our bodies are surging with adrenaline, you know, and we're constantly in this heightened state and constantly on the go and constantly on the move, and we're not coming down from that. And Dr. Archibald Hart says, you must come down from the hills of stress and into the valleys of rest on a daily basis. You know, our bodies
on a daily basis. Wow.
On a daily basis, our bodies aren't designed for a continual state of fear, worry, and anxiety, but for continual tranquility with short bursts of adrenaline. And so we lay it out in this book, principles, ideas, depending on where you are, you know, in your life stage and what your family, you know, mix looks like. We lay out ideas on how to unplug from this adrenaline state and how to plug into the Lord, to family, to rest. These are the keys.
Michael Ross, I'm sure you've had people since the book came out, and probably even when you were putting it together, people coming to you saying, well, but I want to go back to the scripture. I want to know what the Bible has to say about these issues of stress and rehabilitation and worry and anxiety. And my goodness, so often, I mean, there's just such tremendous rich wisdom. I'm drawn immediately, I think of that subject, I'm drawn to some of the wisdom of the Old Testament and the Old Testament sages that wrote so much to us. But there's a lot of discussion, a lot of ideas about anxiety in the heart of the man that prior to somebody pointing it out to me, I had just kind of read through and blown through those pages and really didn't pay much attention to it. Comment, if you would, on the rich wisdom of the scriptures on this issue.
Well, jumping to the New Testament, Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28-30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, that is really the basis, the spiritual basis for this book, coming to the Lord. You know, we Christians have bought a lie, and that lie that we're in control. I mean, we say we're not. You know, oh, yeah, we're trusting the Lord. We're praying. We're going to church. But in reality, we're holding on to things, and we're thinking that we're in control when, no, Christ is in control. We need to surrender to Him, and He tells us to do that, you know, on a daily basis. Let go. You know, I'm going to take that problem. I'm going to take that worry. I'm going to take that fear from you. Surrender it. You know, I heard a great pastor just over the weekend say, God can't heal what you aren't willing to give up. And I would insert, instead of can't, I would say won't, because God can do anything, but God won't heal what you're not willing to give up. We've got to surrender to Him. And we talk about that, you know, as I mentioned, mind, body, spirit. We take a look at the spiritual side of things and what we need to do, and surrender is a big part of that.
Well, Michael Ross, as always, thanks so much for joining us. What an interesting set of thoughts surrounding the idea of worry-free living, coming down from the stress mountain on a daily basis. Michael, thank you. We look forward to talking to you again soon. It's 6:20. Good morning and welcome. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill.
Use. Connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Thank you for listening. 6:22 at the Faith Radio Network. That's where we're headquartered. Hope your day is off to a great start. Coming up just about, 12 minutes from now, Del Walinga from the Christian Police Officers Association. He will join us. He's been with us before, weighing in on important issues pertaining to local law enforcement officers and agencies around the country. There has been a lot of discussion, in some cases, criticism of local police forces, police departments, county sheriff's agencies and such, and their so-called militarization, especially in light of what we have seen and what we observe with police forces in Ferguson, Missouri, trying to do their best, I believe, to contain civil unrest and, yes, honor people's right to protest and speak their mind, while at the same time containing property damage and reining in those who would do harm to others. That's a very difficult balance to strike. It's very central also to our way of life and the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy here in the United States of America. It is also a matter of fact, however, that over the last several years, at least 5 or 6 years, really closer to a decade, our country has undergone this shift where the United States Department of Defense, the military basically, has been giving military-grade weaponry and vehicles and other kinds of equipment to local police departments and county sheriff's departments, hence the term the militarization of local law enforcement. And it seems to me that that begs some questions. What is the difference between the Army, say, and your local police department? And should there be a difference? And do they have different roles to play, different functions to fulfill? Constitutionally speaking, they most certainly do. And again, our ability to live as free people and even to practice our Christian faith, to worship freely, these kinds of things are very much reliant on maintaining that healthy balance between law and order and liberty. So Del Walinga will weigh in on his thoughts from the Christian Police Officers Association about whether or not there really is a militarization of the police issue. That's coming up in just a few moments, so stand by for that. That'll be at about 6:35 this morning. Are you ready to pledge? We are hoping and praying for a very bountiful fall share season coming up on September 9th. If you're familiar with our fall share fundraiser, well, I'll give you some interesting inside details that you might not know about, actually. In fact, we've got an opportunity for you to win an Apple iPad. How would you like to own a brand new Apple iPad? What a great device to have in the household and in the family, right? We'll tell you about that and how it all connects with our forthcoming fall share event here at the Faith Radio Network. We are listener supported, and we appreciate your support. It's 6:25. When we come back, let's talk about Neil Stavem and Connecting Faith. We'll get a preview of what's coming up on his program next. It's 6:26 on the Faith Radio Network, Connecting Faith with Neil Stabum. That's heard weekdays at 12 noon Central Time here on Faith Radio. Yesterday, Neil was joined by Kathy Lipp. She's the author of a brand new book called I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. She talked about the importance of spending time together as a family. Here's part of what that sounded like.
Having a plan for dinner, even if it's, you know, once a week, you drive through and you bring home a meal in a paper bag. If that's what you need to do and you can eat out on the back patio, I think that that totally counts as a win. And if dinner is really tough because either dad's coming home late or mom's got meetings or whatever that is, then can you make dinner, you know, your meal together at a different time? Can that be breakfast? But to say that we can never make time to have a meal together, it's you're missing out on the best part of family. I really do believe that. So we usually have all of our adult kids over on a Sunday night. They're all broke, so this works right now because they get free meals and leftovers.
Yeah.
And also, you know, one of the things that we've done is even though we have adult kids who are living on their own, they come home and we do freezer cooking then, too, so that they can have some good meals to have during the week. But getting around the table, I think, is more than just the food. It's also, is there something to look forward to? One of the things that we've done is we have a variety of questions that we ask, and we have those in the What's for Dinner solution. And those are things like, if you could be invisible for a day, what would you do? You know, silly questions that my kids still love. Or maybe just having an awesome time, you know, talking about, when we're talking about our days, never ask yes or no questions or things that could be answered with the word fine. You have to dig a little deeper, asking questions like, so what did you talk about in history today? Or did you get to sit with Brenny at lunch? You know, those are the kind of questions, you know, if you did, what did you talk about? Tell me about your new teacher. And get these kids, start these habits now that school is starting back up. And if you need to, have a discussion about it, saying this is how we're going to do things. And even if school started 2 weeks ago, say, hey, we're going to have dinner to celebrate the start of school. Always take the opportunity to celebrate, even if it's after the fact.
We'll say maybe a word about some of the resources or ways to get linked up through your website, because I know you're writing and blogging regularly. So what can we find there?
Well, if you go to KathyLipp.com, that's KathyLipp.com, we have a couple of different things for you, which I'm so excited about. One is that all my books can be found there. You can find most of the first chapters free. Go and just explore, and we have a ton of free resources for you, plus the blog. But also, we have a new weekly podcast. It's called So Here's the Thing with Kathy Lipp, where we interview authors, and we talk to them about their best pieces of advice for women and moms in this very challenging time of their lives. And so you'll get some sweet encouragement, have a couple of laughs, and just be encouraged to be the mom and the wife and the woman that God has designed you to be.
Connecting Faith with Neil Stabum, weekdays at 12 noon. Coming up on today's program, Neil talks with University of Northwestern St. Paul Professor Mark Muska. Professor Muska answers your Bible questions. Yes, Ask the Prof Day on Connecting Faith with Neil Stabum today, 12 noon Central Time. It's 6:30. I'm Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network. When we come back, some thoughts on police forces around the country. We'll tell you about it. The news is next.
Back to Austin Hill in the morning. Questions or comments for the show? You can leave them on our show page at myfaithradio.com.
Good morning, 6:35 on this, the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here weekday morning, 6 till 8. We appreciate you listening. Thank you for your support of what we do. Find us anytime. Join us in your support and join us in our efforts at myfaithradio.com. Anytime, that's our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Coming up after the news at 7 o'clock, our great friend Kim Cotola, host of Cradle My Heart, the talk program that you hear Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. Kim Cotola joins me typically every Thursday, and I always appreciate her very engaging conversation and insights on life and the essence of life and the sanctity of life, if you will. She'll talk with us at about 7:10 this morning about embracing who you are and whose you are. So stand by for that. That's shortly after the news at 7 o'clock. The militarization of police forces. What exactly does that mean in light of the civil unrest and the police's response to it in Ferguson, Missouri, the suburb of St. Louis? A lot of attention has been paid to military-grade weaponry and vehicles and other sorts of assets having been given over to local police and county sheriff's agencies across the country, really over the last decade, but certainly within the last 5 or 6 years, with great intention. Joining us to offer some thoughts from the Christian Police Association, we welcome back to our program Del Walenga. Del, thanks so much for joining us. Good to have you on the program again.
Hey, thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure.
It's great to hear your voice. Give us your assessment as a former law enforcement officer yourself, as a guy who heads up an organization of Christian law enforcement officers, and as a thoughtful Christian as well. What does the situation in Ferguson look like to you?
Well, it's probably the most difficult that you can face as a not only as a police department, but as a community as a whole. You know, the taking of a life of any individual is the pinnacle of any officer's decision. And so when that does happen, regardless of, you know, the details that come out prematurely and the, what's discussed, you know, behind or publicly and not knowing all the facts, it's just difficult to try to keep a handle on that until truth is revealed. And that will be determined. Exact set of circumstances and how that played out will be revealed. And so that's the system we live under. And regardless of whether it's a police officer or anybody else, that system has to take place, and those investigations have to take their turn to determine what happened.
Yeah, sure. Dale, I appreciate what you're saying here about the fact that there are processes that have to be undertaken. You're saying that we won't know until the truth is revealed. Give us an idea for those of us who really don't think so much about what happens when police investigators go to work, what happens when a district attorney or a county attorney or some other law enforcement agency starts investigating. Give us an idea, just briefly, what a detailed process that really is.
Well, it is, and thanks for asking that. It's probably a little bit more time-consuming than most people realize because we're so accustomed to seeing everything resolved in a one-hour show on television, you know. But really, these investigations just take a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of detail, all the way from, preliminary investigation to convening a grand jury, you know, to sharing all that information, determining whether or not we move forward with a prosecution, if things were justified. It just becomes a very huge debate and ongoing investigation behind the scenes.
Yeah. Del Walenga, he's with the Christian Police Association. He's with us on the guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. Del, what are we to make of the this phenomena that's being characterized as the militarization of local police forces, police departments, county sheriffs, agencies, both in most cases? We're talking about peace officers, but they are, in many of them, in possession of military assets, weaponry, vehicles, and other equipment. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, and the that process has been going on for a long time. I mean, it's longer than a decade. It goes way back even to the 60s, and the Defense Department, for one thing, has been very generous to law enforcement agencies for decades in giving them surplus military equipment from handguns to armored vehicles. Back in the 1960s, our police departments began to develop what we called SWAT, Special Weapons and Tactics Units, to respond. And so there was a specialization going on of a number of our officers to respond to more than just the average police call on the street. And so we had to equip ourselves to respond, and that has continued to build up over the years. Of course, everybody knows post 9/11 pretty much revealed a host of resources. And it also has kind of set again the precedent for moving forward that, society is not what it was the last four or five decades.
Does this call into question the distinctions and maybe even blur the lines a bit between the military, the federal or even a state's military agency, a state National Guard, the military on the one hand and peace officers on the other hand? Is that distinction kind of dissipating?
Well, in all appearances, I think people would see that. I mean, our normal officers that are patrolling our streets in uniform day to day, we probably wouldn't realize a whole lot of difference in their training until we have an incident, and then our special teams respond. Our officers oftentimes go to the trunk of their police cars and put on additional gear and arm themselves differently. So the resources are there. I think any time that our streets, our governors and our president call in the military on our streets to help reinforce what's already there, you know, there's always a heightened concern there. It's never a good thing to see that happen. But at the same time, that's done for manpower, again, resources. And so the distinction becomes to be a little bit of a blurred line, but truly the power and the authority that each hold are completely different.
That said, the founders of our country certainly had grave hesitancy, and really, as I read the Constitution and American history, Dell, really sought to prevent the fighting forces of the U.S. government turned against its own people. And that strikes me, even if one doesn't care so much about American history, even if we only care about, say, the history of the Christian Church, fighting forces of a government legally turned against private individual citizens and private groups, that is to be taken seriously. As a Christian, are there any concerns in your view about the blurring of the line between military and police in the U.S.?
Well, a good question again, and I think
is it a fair question? Would you say that's a fair question?
Well, I think it is. I mean, I think you have to understand the history of policing. You know, American policing, you know, really didn't come out of America. It came out of England. You know, Robert Peel is the historian who opted to bring civilian police out of a military role. And we can go back and study, you know, ancient Europe and Greece and look at centurions and understand the role that they had there. We can certainly turn to Scripture and see what Scripture had to say. We can even see what our own Lord had to say about using the use of knives and things like that. So the big picture of the whole thing would be to look at and see, you know, is this type of military or police presence or use of force, is it even necessary? And I think, again, depending on, you know, which position you take, again, even biblically, I think there are a lot of mandates for why we do have what we have. You know, society as a whole, our training and our response and our tactical training and all those things, you know, we're not doing that because society is getting better. I mean, we're getting more and more incidences of those shocking moments, whether it be a school shooting with a police response, a complete attack on a police officer as maybe the Hollywood shootout we can remember from years ago, where police were just ill-equipped to respond. So again, it's just that whole combination of understanding, especially when we have a shooting, okay, our military and our police, we have to understand that the commandment is not just simply, I shall not kill, it's I shall not murder. Murder is with malice and forethought. A killing can often come out of a self-defense mode or protecting other people. So we have to get a real good understanding of the terminology of the words we're using.
Fair point. Del Wallinga, he's with the Christian Police Association. Del, if you can hold on for another segment, we'll talk further.
Thank you.
Stand by, 6:44. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network. Is there a concern about militarizing local police forces in our country? Del Wallinga with the Christian Police Association offering us his insight. We'll continue in just a moment. I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're here. This is the Faith Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning 6 till 8. Del Wallinga is with the Christian Police Association. He's on our guest line. As we address this issue, he's giving us his insights, this concern that some people have raised about the so-called militarization of local police forces. This is not new, but it's certainly come to people's attention in light of what's gone on in Ferguson, Missouri, over the last several days. Del, do I hear you correctly? There is, I guess, sort of a blurring of the lines of distinction between peace officers and military soldiers. Did I hear that correctly?
Well, you did, especially from a civilian standpoint. I mean, our appearances are everything to many people. If you're working in law enforcement or the military, you certainly understand the distinctions, and you certainly understand the need for the training. Years now in the past, where we didn't have necessarily all the training and the resources available to us, a lot of military, retired military, are now becoming instructors for those of us in the police career. So there's a line that comes where you say, well, we could use some of those types of training, we could use those tactics, we could use that experience, because the streets we're policing now are certainly, the dynamics of them are changing a little bit as far as some of the level of crimes and suspects that we're encountering.
And probably most people within the reach of our voices here would say, boy, we certainly observe that. I do as well. And yet, I think statistics would tell us that domestic crime has been on the decline. Certainly we saw that happen in the 90s, and I think most of last decade. I don't know what this current decade is doing thus far, but are things really worse?
Well, I think the level of incidences are worse. I mean, police officers, we used to be able to get a call and respond, and there was usually adequate time to do that. We had the equipment, which wasn't much, but we had what was available. And you have to understand that in the society that we were serving, there was a lot more, I think, respect for the idea that a civil society and civil order all agree on some common denominators. But when the police become questionable, then I think that's a heightened awareness to say, does this system even really work? So now today we respond. We respond to things like the Columbine schools and other school shootings and snipers driving down our state freeways and highways. And so we recognize that some of the carnage is just so much different than it used to be, and it becomes much more available through the media now. And so immediately, within seconds, our communities and our citizens across the United States are fully aware of what's going on and how the response is being handled. So it's almost like it's playing out like a show on television.
Sometimes it is, unfortunately. Del Wallinga, he's with the Christian Police Association. He's here on our guest line. Are there legal concerns here with the militarization of local law enforcement in light of federal law known as the Posse Comitatus Act? You know that better than I do, I'm sure. That dates back to President Rutherford Hayes, I believe, in the late 1800s.
Yes.
He had very serious concerns that military would be turned against the U.S. Population, and he signed into law a bill that said you can't do that. And yet we've got these military-grade weapons and resources and other assets that have flowed into local police and sheriff's departments over the last many years, and it's hard to determine what's military and what's police. Are there legal concerns here in your view?
Well, I mean, there certainly are. I mean, we don't want to do anything, of course, that violates the Constitution and the laws that we have in place, and we're just working daily and monthly with legislatures and our folks to make sure that everything that we do proceed with and that we are wanting to engage in is certainly within the realms of our authority and what we do. And I think what we've noticed is that any time in the past over the decades where police or local governors have had to call in our military and our troops, and the time that it takes to do that and organize that, I do think that our police officers now are becoming more and more of a first line of defense in our communities to kind of give that strategic position of, we're a nation that has the greatest military resources in the world. We have always been that way. And so I think a lot of it is just appearances to make sure that, first line of defense in communities, we can be there, we can be ready, and whether we think it's a good idea or not, have the equipment necessary to do that. There are still guidelines and rules and laws about executing those, and those are the things that we have to mandate and continue to guard against so that it doesn't come, you know, become an all-out anarchy and at-will, service. So,
Del, just a few seconds left. How do thoughtful Christians in America pray at such a tumultuous time as this?
Well, I think, we not only need to pray just when it's tumultuous times, and we certainly understand that, and our prayers certainly need to be heightened. But really, the Bible calls us to pray for those in authority every day. It's not just a president or a governor or somebody like that. It comes down to the very last rookie that's on our streets. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. And so if we could just pray for those officers in our communities and just ask for God's will to be done, I think that's some of the most pertinent prayers that we can offer.
Well stated, as always. Del Wallinga with the Christian Police Association. Del, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I hope you'll join us again real soon.
Certainly will. Thank you very much.
All right. Good to be with you, and thanks for what you do. 6:54, this is the Faith Radio Network. Live the Promise with Susie Larson happens weekday afternoons. Coming up next, we'll get a sneak preview of what she's got for us today. I'm Austin Hill. It's the Faith Radio Network. Susie Larson and Live the Promise is heard weekday afternoons 3 till 5 Central Time here on Faith Radio. Chip Ingram, Pastor Chip Ingram, joined Susie Larson yesterday. They talked about how to discuss cultural issues in an engaging and thoughtful way. Here's part of what that conversation sounded like.
I have a whiteboard in my office right across from me, and I wish I could just say, hey, everybody, walk over here with me, and then I would draw something that kind of looks like a mountain, and then I would put a squiggly line, that so it would be an iceberg, and 10% is above the line, and I would write sexual immorality and homosexuality and abortion and lying and all kind of things above the line, and all I would want people to see is that is only the symptoms, and there's a reason we got here, and then underneath that squiggly line where everyone would say, oh, that's underneath the water, is I would write truth. Is it relative or absolute? And I would walk them through a journey of what happened in the late 1800s with the German critics and philosophers and how that leaked into American seminaries and launched what we call the modernist controversy. And then by the time it went mainstream in the 50s, beatniks, and then 60s, it was existentialism. And it was, do your own thing. And then the birth of the middle of the 60s, make love, not war. And so there was no truth. Who are you to say what's right or what's wrong? And so we have a generation of people that their lens, their ears, if they can clearly, because of how they've grown up and what our educational system in many places has taught them, is you can dichotomize and say, I can say that's black and you can say that's white, and we look at each other and say, oh, yeah, that's right. Now, we don't do that. We don't do that in any other area of life. I can't go to the gas station and, hey, what do you take, diesel or gas? It doesn't matter. Whatever feels good to you, put it in there. Or you don't go to the doctor and, you say, how are you feeling? And I say, I feel really pretty bad. It's, it's my chest. Well, you want some penicillin or Viagra? I mean, yeah. Are you kidding me? And so we all live with absolutes, but we're in a culture and a world now inside the church where their mindset and their belief system is that truth is what I believe it to be and what I accept. And it's a role reversal. Instead of God as this holy, righteous, shepherd, loving father, but holy judge, it's we flip it around and we judge God. Well, I don't think God should be saying that. Or who is he? Like, who is he to say that this is wrong or that is wrong? I mean, all he did is, make the whole universe and breathe it out of his word and rise from the dead. Like, who are you to tell me? We don't say it that blatantly, but that's what our lifestyles say. And unfortunately, the consequences are devastating in terms of what's happened in relationships, families.
Pastor Chip Ingram with Susie Larson yesterday. Today on Live the Promise, Susie talks with author Krista Carroll. It's 6:58. Good morning. I'm Austin Hill. This is Faith Radio.
Start your day connecting faith to life. It's Austin Hill in the morning.
Hey, good morning. Welcome. 7:04, Thursday underway. You're listening to the Faith Radio Network, and thank you for being here. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support of what we do here at Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill, here weekday morning, 6 till 8. And really grateful for you allowing us to come alongside today. Coming up later this hour, we've got some a very cool opportunity for those who would like to join us in being financially supportive of Faith Radio Network. We are a listener-supported entity. We don't run commercials, as you can tell, and we don't sell advertising and those kinds of things. We have hard costs, and those who want to come on board and help us, we are grateful for that. We hope you will continue your partnership with us or consider a partnership for the first time. But we've got a very interesting opportunity here, chance for you to win a Apple iPad, which... I'd like to have an Apple iPad in the Hill household, but we could end up bestowing one on you. I'll tell you details about that coming up a little bit later this hour here on our program. Also, I hope you have begun your day successfully. We started our day literally just moments before the microphone went on at 6:04 this morning. Started our day with lightning bolts and transmitter sites. We were a little bit concerned that one of our transmitters had got struck by lightning with this storm front that's moving through. Not the case. Apparently all is well on all our broadcast affiliates. But it is inclined to be very hot, humid, and wet out of doors in most regions of the upper Midwest today. So plan accordingly and be prepared for that. Later this hour, it's about half an hour from now, we will talk about imparting the truths of the Christian faith to the next generation, in particular the millennial generation. Dr. Alex McFarland is with the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference. That's forthcoming at North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. He'll join us to talk about some of the challenges and struggles of imparting essential Christian doctrines and teaching the faith, as it were, to our kids and grandkids and younger generations. So that's coming up later into the 7 o'clock hour. In just moments, Kim Cotola, who hosts Cradle My Heart, a program that you hear Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. Kim joins me, as she typically does on Thursday mornings right about this time. We'll talk about what it means to embrace who you are and whose you are. Understanding our identity in Christ, that is essential to our understanding of life itself. Kim Cotola, such a fine, articulate, outspoken voice on behalf of life. She'll join us coming up next. It's 7:07. Thank you for being here. This is the Faith Radio Network.
Getting your day started, connecting faith to life. Back to Austin Hill in the morning.
It's now 7:08. Hope you're remaining dry and safe wherever you're at. And thank you for listening to the Faith Radio Network. Kim Cotola is a fine broadcaster, a prolific writer. She hosts Cradle My Heart, a program heard Sunday evenings, 8 p.m. Central Time here on the Faith Radio Network. She is a prolific voice speaking out on behalf of life, life of the unborn, life of the elderly, life of the sick, life in human life in all forms. Coming up this weekend, I think she's going to talk a little bit about understanding our identity as we live our lives. Kim Cotola joins us now on the guest line. Kim, welcome back to the program. Always a pleasure to speak with you.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am good, thanks. So far, so good. Staying out of the rain, which is a great thing. Embracing who we are and whose we are. What a profound topic. You're set to dive into this coming up Sunday evening. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you were saying you have a message for millennials, and you have a guest who's going to be speaking to them. And I think it's really important that those of us who are baby boomers or older than millennials understand and get where they are, because they're not of the same mindset. How could they possibly be? Their generation is just so different. And one of the things, Austin, that I have really seen, my young adult children and their peers, the whole dating and courtship ritual and, you know, all of that behavior and all of that, all of our thoughts about that as a generation have truly changed. I mean, when I was a teenager, my mother told me, you never call a boy. You wait and, and allow him to call you, and you're very careful about who you share your phone number with, et cetera. Well, now, of course, girls have become the aggressors. I mean, it's beyond pursuing a boy. Girls may aggressively be, you know, going after the boy that they are interested in. And so what does that mean for the girl who's trying to live a godly pattern, and for the young woman who, beyond girlhood, is now a young adult and is having to navigate her way through that? And there's a central idea that Robin Jones Gunn is going to talk with us about this weekend on Cradle My Heart, which is, women, you are not up for grabs. You are already spoken for. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and even if you're not yet a follower, you are spoken for. God has a plan for your life already in place.
That's very interesting. Kim Cotola, host of the Cradle My Heart program, Sunday evenings, 8 p.m. here on the Faith Radio Network. She's on our guest line right now. That's, I would think, a message fraught with challenges in terms of conveying that message to young girls who are caught up in and torn asunder by that very kind of aggressive female culture that you're talking about. And boy, I'm the parent of a young son. My wife and I are raising a teenage boy. We don't have a daughter, but I've watched how some of my nieces in extended family have grown up over the last 10, 12, 15 years or so through their teen years and into and beyond high school and into their 20s and such. Man, the girl culture is just rough, Kim. I think it's much more rough and tumble in many ways than boys are. It's not just all the expectations placed on girls by young men, but the way girls treat each other. A comment on that, if you would, coming from a woman's perspective and as a mom.
Right, and I think, you know, I'm not in my statements or in this interview we have planned trying to indict girls. But as you say, the pressure on them is huge. They have to look a certain way. They have to achieve. Girls are now the majority of students in colleges, as you probably know. There's this huge pressure for girls to achieve. Many young families that are starting will see a mom, once she gives birth, returning to work and dad staying home simply because she's better educated and is out earning her husband. That's a trend that's new in this generation. And so what does it mean for a girl to step back, or a young woman to step back from all of that and say, what does God say? How does God see me? This is a key question. You know, that's a question that changed my life in my faith walk, understanding how God sees me, that not only is he not angry with me about my sin, he's not upset with me about my needs. And he already, as I said, you know, if we understood how much we are loved and how much God is already pursuing us, if we know where to look, then everything changes.
Kim Cotola, for some, they're, I suppose, inclined to hear what you're saying about understanding our identity in Christ, women in particular, and maybe caught off guard a little bit. Kim Cotola is the person who talks about the sanctity of life and comforting people if the unfortunate decision to abort a child is made, and recovery from that process. This is maybe kind of new material from you for some people. It all makes sense to me, but connect the dots here with your passion for the sanctity of life and understanding one's identity in Christ.
Well, the next step in my journey, Austin, personally, has been to now be trained as an abstinence educator. And I go into the public schools, Lord willing, this fall in Georgia where I live, and present a one-week curriculum about chastity, about abstinence, as a public health issue. It's not a faith-based program, although it's Christian-friendly. And so for me, connecting the dots means if my message is choose life, take abortion off the table, we have to back up and say, well, what behaviors lead to that desperation that puts women in that position of choosing abortion in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And it's it's, you know, pursuing relationships the way the world says. The world says you can be sexually active. All that needs to happen is mutual consent. And so, you know, and protection with condoms or whatever is being put forth as, you know, something that will guard your heart. I don't know what that would be other than abstinence.
Right.
And so for me, the important phase is the foundational phase where we help women and young men understand you are loved. God has a plan for your life. His plan is very different from what the world says you ought to be doing. You know, yes, of course we want you to have relationships with the opposite sex, but here's God's way to treat that with honor, with respect, with friendship, to do things in a logical order in God's economy, which is laying that foundation for friendship before a commitment, then the commitment being what cements the relationship, not the chemistry and the infatuation and the attractions.
Mm.
And so I think, you know, it's kind of a radical message for this generation to hear, even though it's the timeless way that God, you know, there's a longing in women's hearts to be protected. And that also seems to be controversial or radical, but I believe it's true. And so if young women can grasp the protection that God has in mind for them, living your life a certain way, I think that there's a real comfort there, especially when they grasp and then find a relationship with a young man who understands that it's part of his job to protect her.
So well spoken, so well stated. Kim Cotola, host of the Cradle My Heart program, will be linking to her recent blog post on this all-important issue, and we'll hear more Sunday evening, 8 p.m. Central Time. Kim, thanks as always for joining me. Good to talk to you, and thanks for what you do.
Have a great day. Thanks, Austin.
716, you're listening to the Faith Radio Network. I am Austin Hill. Thank you for being here. Good morning and welcome to Thursday. The Faith Radio is Faith Radio Network is what you're listening to. I'm Austin Hill, and coming up just about 15 minutes from now, looking forward to speaking with Dr. Alex McFarland. He joins us to talk about a series of conferences, actually, called the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conferences. Dr. Alex McFarland, he's the director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center, North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll find out what's going on with that and get the inside scoop on that. Sounds like very, very important and necessary work. And if you listen to this program and others of our programming, other shows that we offer here at the Faith Radio Network, it's kind of a recurrent theme, I would say, that there is concern among those of us, say, in Generation X and the Baby Boom generation, and perhaps even those of the World War II era generation. There is concern, and I believe legitimately so, about how indeed younger demographics, especially in our country, and by that I mean the millennial generation, how are they being discipled? How are they having the faith, the essential core ingredients, if you will, of Christian faith, imparted to them? So Dr. Alex McFarland joins us give us his details and his perspective on that coming up in just about 15 minutes from now. We also have Breakpoints with Eric Metaxas. That's coming up in just a few moments as well. Hey, I wanted to remind you, we do this every fall, and we have our forthcoming Fall Share events. That gets underway September 9th. And we're excited about that. We ask you to prayerfully consider continuing your support if you already are a financial supporter of ours. And listen, we're listener supported. Can't do it without you. We don't sell advertising, and we don't receive any government grants or government funding. It's all what you hear on your radio, online at myfaithradio.com, on your mobile phone, and so forth. It's all because of generous donors. And I tell you what, though, the Fall Share event gets underway on September 9th, which is just a few days away. That'll be here before you know it. However, if you'd like to sort of get a jump start, this is fun stuff. And I believe somebody donated this so as to make this happen. But if you'd like to come on board as a supporter before September 9th, your name will be entered into a drawing to win an Apple iPad. Hello, how cool would that be, right? The Apple iPad that we have to give away, by the way, will be delivered to the recipient, preloaded with a Bible app, the Faith Radio mobile app, devotionals, and other Christian materials to help you connect faith to life. So there you go. I mean, continuity of theme, if you will, exactly why the Faith Radio Network exists, to connect faith to life. And so will this Apple iPad, as we harness the power of some of the latest, greatest mobile telecommunications technology in the iPad, to give that to somebody who comes on board as a supporter. So all the details, just get over to what we call our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. First thing that'll pop up there on the homepage, well, one of the first things anyway, is a picture of an iPad, and the words read simply, pre-pledge to win. So, again, our fall share fundraiser event gets underway September 9th, just a few days away. You want to get a jump start and maybe win an iPad, myfaithradio.com, and it's all the details are there on how to win that thing. I'm not eligible, by the way. Neither is my 15, almost 16-year-old son, who's always trying to figure out how to win contests and get cool stuff and whatnot. But the Hill family is off limits. All of us who work here, we can't do this, but you can. MyFaithRadio.com is the place to go. By the way, I've got just a couple of minutes here before we break for and then get ready for Breakpoint. If I may indulge here for just a moment. We've started, and I really have nothing to do with this, but my associates, Aaron McIntyre on the other side of the glass booth, and Paul Perot here at Faith Radio, they have started something kind of fun, actually. It's sort of our own version, if you will, of what we're calling. Is it okay to divulge this? I guess it's okay, right? Okay, I'm getting the thumbs up. We're doing kind of our own kind of fun version of Throwback Thursday. And you may or may not have noticed this. I'm 50, full disclosure here, and so there is maybe somewhat of a demographic divide here, but some of the instrumental interludes here on the program today have been little excerpts of contemporary Christian songs from way back in the day. In fact, I had a warning about this, a heads up, a couple of days ago. And I said, okay, well, that's nice. And Paul Perot edited these things and put them all together for us. And there's a lot of digital work involved in that. I said, okay, that's fun. Thanks, Paul. And I didn't give a whole lot more thought to it. And then all of a sudden I realized, hey, that instrumental I'm just hearing in my head, whoa, that takes me back. As a matter of fact, we just played some instrumental from a song by a band called Whiteheart. Remember them? They still exist, by the way. They sort of relaunched earlier this year in the country of Australia. And Aaron McIntyre on the other side of the glass booth, he looked up Whiteheart online and he said, wow, you guys had big hair back then, which is true. But anyway, that's just kind of a fun little anecdotal thing. Just a little, just wanted to kind of indulge in as you listen to the remainder of the program. If you remember some of the earlier days, some of the pre-2010 days of contemporary Christian music, like this one here, I recognize this instrumental from Amy Grant, Everywhere I Go. Thank you, see, it's working, it's working. Just kind of a fun little anecdote thing that we wanted to add to the program today. 7:25, it's the Faith Radio Network. Breakpoints is on the way next. I'm Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network, and I'm Austin Hill. Thank you for being here. I'm in the house weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life and do so in ways that are informative and hopeful and helpful all at the same time. I wanted to get the word out today, and this I think is newsworthy and important and noteworthy. Wherever you might be listening to us today, of course, our network studios are headquartered on the campus of University of Northwestern St. Paul in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're in the Twin Cities area, but chances are you're listening well outside the Twin Cities in a different state or different region of the country. This is nonetheless, I believe, very newsworthy. If you're in the Twin Cities area, you need to know that Department of Defense military training will continue again tonight. Now, this is make of it what you will, and I have some things to say. Let me connect this information to a very thoughtful, insightful interview I think we had earlier this morning with a gentleman named Del Wallinga with the Christian Police Association. I'll get to that in just a moment. But this is nonetheless the United States Department of Defense, the military, conducting military helicopter training exercises overhead in, best as I can tell, the downtown Minneapolis area. Now, this is not just relegated. This training of military personnel and the utilization of military assets is not limited just to the Twin Cities area and Minneapolis-St. Paul. We had this almost the exact same news occur in the Fargo-Moorhead area and the city of Fargo in North Dakota. They've been going through some exercises. And please listen carefully to what I'm saying here. I'm trying to break this down very succinctly. In Fargo, as best as I can tell, we did not have military personnel going through military training exercises. We did nonetheless have local police in the Fargo area using military-grade machinery, equipment, and weaponry going through exercises recently. Now, you might ask, well, why all of a sudden all this local police departments and military personnel going through, quote-unquote, exercises in my town or in my home city or what have you? Well, ostensibly, we need to put this in context to current events, recent events, and this is understandable to some degree. Ostensibly, this is because of the civil unrest in the St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, Missouri. In fact, I'm looking at a news headline here from Fargo. It says, FM agencies, Fargo-Moorhead agencies, ready with mobile field force in case of civil unrest. So we're being told that the Department of Defense is deploying military troops domestically, and local police departments are going through exercises with police officers just in case of civil unrest. Now, that said, earlier this morning, just about an hour ago, as I said, Del Wallinga from the Christian Police Association, very thoughtful man, and I just really appreciate his contributions to our program and his wisdom and insight. Del Wallinga was with us here on this program, and Del is retired law enforcement himself. He now heads up the nonprofit Private Christian Police Association. As the group's name implies, it is a professional association of police officers who are Christians, and they seek to encourage one another and to inculcate Christian values among police officers as they go about doing their all-important work. Del Wallinga was with me here on the program, and I raised some questions to him about what is kind of loosely being bantered around in the dominant media right now as, quote-unquote, the militarization of local police. The militarizing of local police departments, county sheriff's departments, and so forth. And understand that we've got a lot of layers of government law enforcement and government protection groups. We have your local police departments. Generally speaking, wherever you live in the United States of America, you are under some sort of county jurisdiction. There's probably a county sheriff's department. There is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. There is, in any given state that you live in here in the United States, there is a state National Guard. And then there's the U.S. Department of Defense that oversees the various branches of our military. And they can all kind of commingle themselves, generally speaking, commingle their efforts, their projects that they work on. One can deploy the assets and the resources of the other and such. We also have, as a matter of federal law, and this is something that was really set in motion by the founders of our country constitutionally, and about 110, 115 years or so after our nation's founding, a guy named Rutherford B. Hayes, you might remember that name from history class, President Rutherford B. Hayes, encouraged Congress to pass a bill, and he signed it into law. It's known as, you may have heard this term before, the Posse Comitatus Act. That is a federal law that says that the U.S. military cannot use its force on U.S. citizens. The founders of our country and even that old President Rutherford Hayes from long ago, not exactly one of our standout U.S. presidents, not one that, you know, there's no holiday to celebrate, we wouldn't celebrate Hayes Day, there's no holiday commemorating his service, but He wrote very prolifically, and I happen to know this because the first book I ever wrote 8 years ago was about the history of the U.S. presidents. Rutherford B. Hayes had very serious concerns about the possibility that someday the U.S. military could be used against the citizens. And he believed that our U.S. federal government, in essence, turning its fighting forces against the citizenry that it is supposed to serve, he believed that that was problematic. And I just raise these things to your attention. These are news headlines that I'm seeing here in our studios. I know my associate Paul Perot in our Faith Radio News Division, he's been observing these over the last several days. And I've been hesitant to bring these up because, quite frankly, I mean absolutely no disrespect at all to the men and women of the military and men and women of police departments. But and we'll have this full interview on our website at myfaithradio.com later today. But Del Walinga from the Christian Police Association, he very candidly stated that there is a clear blurring of the lines between peace officers, local law enforcement, and their role and their function and their purpose, and the military and the military's role and function and purpose. This is not the way our country was established and set up. And I believe even through the lenses of Christian history, there is warranted a level of caution when a government can legally use its fighting forces on its citizens. Please just take heart, take notes, be prepared. I'm not predicting any calamity. I'm just simply saying we had some people rather stunned and freaked out about these military exercises going on in the Twin Cities a couple of days ago. It will happen again tonight and possibly tomorrow night as well. Something we need to be mindful of and prayerful of. It's 7:42. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill. How do we impart Christian doctrine, essential Christian truth, to the younger generation? We'll talk about that next. Don't go away. Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill here, weekday mornings 6 till 8. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for your support of the Faith Radio Network. How do we impart Christian truth, essential details of the Christian faith? How do we extend that to the next generation? A lot of people are growing concerned, I think, among the Christian community about the millennial generation. Now, depending on whose demographic accounts you're reading, millennials include people as young as 18 and maybe as old as early 30s. But suffice it to say, it is the offspring generation of the boomers and Gen Xers both. Joining us to talk about imparting essential Christian faith to a younger generation, Dr. Alex McFarland, who heads up the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference that's coming to Greenville, South Carolina very, very soon. Dr. McFarland, welcome to our program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you. Thank you for waiting on me. With so much in the news, I've been on a couple of interviews already this morning, and so I appreciate the chance to be on with you. It's really an honor.
Well, tell us some of the challenges that one faces trying to impart Christian truth to younger demographics in our country.
Well, let me quote a sociologist. I won't begin with a Christian quote necessarily, but a book came out not long ago about America's public high schools, and this one sociologist said, quote, "The real deal about the lives of American teens today, the sexual revolution runs unchecked, drug use is chronic, and teachers don't even bother to teach," end of quote. Now, that was the findings of a sociologist after visiting about 200 American public high schools. And, let me say this. I want to say a good word about America's young people. In my experience, after having spoken in 1,400 churches and hundreds of schools, young people are spiritually hungry. They really are. What's really cool about teenagers today, more so than when I was a youth pastor 23 years ago, youth today have a real work ethic as far as serving other people. They're not afraid to roll up their sleeves, get their hands dirty, and do things to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that young people, we have a real opportunity to see the Great Commission fulfilled in the lives of a lot of young people if they are brought to Christ and they are born again, but discipled and taught how to really defend their faith. And in my experience, you know, I think a lot of people just think that a lot, you know, teens, millennials, and plurals, like you said, those that are, say, 30 and under, they're entitled, they're pampered, they just think that the world owes them something. No, I disagree. Kids don't really know what's wrong with the world. They know something's wrong with the world. Not many that I meet would be able to say, hey, America's most urgent need is to return to the Judeo-Christian worldview on which she was birthed. You know, we need to rediscover Christianity in our culture. A lot of youth don't really articulate it that way, but they are spiritually hungry. They respond to Jesus Christ, and they become very emboldened and all the more passionate when they're taught to defend their faith.
Alex McFarland, tell us about the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference happening in Greenville, South Carolina. You're seeking in the conference to address some of these issues. How do you go about that?
Well, you know, for a long time, by the grace of God, I've been organizing these events. You know, I started out, you know, bringing Josh McDowell. Well, many of your listeners will know who Josh McDowell is. You know, we just, my wife and I, you know, 19 years ago, we wanted to equip young people not to lose their faith when they go to college. And so over the years, the conference has grown and grown and grown. This will be the 39th event of this type that I've organized over the years. But this is the best ever, Austin. September 5 and 6, we'll bring together Ben Carson, Johnny Erickson Tata, Eric Metaxas, Josh McDowell, Sean McDowell, the Colson Center, John Stone Street of Breakpoint Radio, Todd Starnes from Fox News, and more than two dozen nationally known speakers, David Barton, the historian. The theme is Life and Liberty Given by God. The website is truthforanewgeneration.com. Last year, we had people come from 35 U.S. states. Mm-hmm. So there's still time wherever anyone's listening. If you care about God and country, if you care about passing the faith on to the next generation, you know, we've got everything from basic how to share the gospel with an atheist, how to defend your faith in the classroom, to strategies for churches, how to jumpstart a plateaued or declining church. And it's for all ages, but it's Truth for a New Generation, September 5 and 6. South Carolina this year, but hey, friends, we're 10 minutes from the GSP International Airport, 5 minutes from I-85, 2 hours from Atlanta. You can make it. Come out for God and country.
Give us that web address again, Alex.
TruthForANewGeneration.com. Truth, F-O-R, TruthForANewGeneration.com. You know, we just started a promotion 4 days ago that the next 100 people that register will get a free copy of my book, 10 Issues That Divide Christians, which really describes some of the struggles that we've got culturally about a nation that's really the role that God played in the foundation of the country. So, you know, to sum it all up, I've got one button on the keyboard, and that's revival in America, a spiritual awakening. And I think that what we've got to do, Austin, is present, explain, and even defend the faith to help this new generation understand that, you know, this is real. Christianity is real. Christ really rose from the grave. There are compelling lines of evidence that validate the authenticity of the Christian faith. And, you know, I'm not doom and gloom. I don't want to, you know, paint a hopeless picture. But I will say this, and I believe this is reality, that the preservation of America depends on a rediscovery and a restoration of Christianity in our culture. I mean, we've belief in universal moral absolutes, and now we've got gay marriage, we've got a Department of Justice that won't enforce laws that are on the books, we've got just this meltdown in Missouri. We need Christ in this nation, and I would call on every Christian to intercede for America, to pray for America, to prepare for an effective defense of the gospel and to pass the faith on to their kids.
Yeah, and Alex, I'm going to need to interrupt you. Your phone's breaking up, and we're having difficulty hearing you. But we got the website, truthforanewgeneration.com. We'll certainly link to that. And I concur with, I think, everything you've said this morning. Thanks so much for making time for the Faith Radio Network. We appreciate it very much. Truthforanewgeneration.com. Some very important things going on for the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference. Dr. Alex McFarland heading that up. 7:54. I'm Austin Hill. This is the Faith Radio Network. Our program continues momentarily. The Faith Radio Network. Glad you're listening. Thank you for being here, and we always appreciate your support. You know, I just want to reiterate this again, not to make an unduly big deal of it, but we are completely listener supported. If you're listening on your radio right now, or listening on a mobile phone, on your computer, tablet, listening to the podcast, the pre-recorded audio of our program, this all happens not because we go out and sell advertising. We don't do that. We don't want to do that. And frankly, we can't do that. Not because we get government grants. It's because of generous listeners like you that offer your support for what we do. And, of course, we've got our Fall Share fundraiser events coming up. It begins on September 9th, so it's just a few days away. However, as I pointed out earlier this morning, and it bears repeating, if you'd like to get over to our mobile-friendly website, it's myfaithradio.com. You want to log on there and check in. If you'd like to come on board and become a supporter of ours before September 9th, well, we'll just enter your name into a drawing for a brand-new Apple iPad. How cool is that? And as I said earlier, just full disclosure here, I can't win this. My almost 16-year-old son, who likes to just win everything and register for every free contest, and you know, you say the word free, and ears perk up. Anyway, we, those of us who are privileged to work here at the Faith Radio Network, we can't do this, but you can. So I hope you'll get over to myfaithradio.com and check it out. Again, our Fall Share fundraiser event gets underway September 9th. But there's a very special gift possibly for you if you'd like to come on board and become a supporter of ours a little ahead of time. So check that out, myfaithradio.com. Coming up tomorrow on our program, Austin Hill in the Morning, we'll be talking about actually a whole bunch of things pertaining to kids. Students are headed back to school at this time of the year. Parents, youth pastors, grandparents, aunts and uncles, we're all focused in on the kids right now. We'll talk about an issue that sometimes people don't want to acknowledge happens with Christian kids. Sometimes we'd rather pretend that it doesn't happen in Christian schools, but it's an issue of what has come to be known as bullying, and appropriately it's known as bullying. We'll talk with Paul Coughlin. He is an expert and a consultant on the issue of bullying, and has some very, very thoughtful, insightful things to say. I was speaking with Paul earlier this week, and I'd never met him before. I have to tell you, I was just so impressed with this man and his wisdom, his understanding of what the Scriptures have to say about parenting, about raising up a generation of people who are compassionate and yet confident and strong all at the same time. Paul Coughlin will answer some of our most difficult questions about bullying in schools. So we'll get to that coming up on tomorrow's program. Jordan Seculo with the American Center for Law and Justice. Jordan Seculo will join us once again. He's been on the program before. His nonprofit group that he and his father, Jay Seculo, they head that up, ACLJ. They are providing legal counsel and representation to Nagme Abedini. Nagme Abedini is the wife of imprisoned American pastor Saeed Abedini. He is being held illegally in a very brutal prison in Iran. We have called for prayer on behalf of Saeed Abedini many, many times before. Jordan Seculo joins us on tomorrow's edition of our program to give us an update on Saeed Abedini. And actor Kirk Cameron has got a new family-friendly movie out called Mercy Rules. He'll join us tomorrow as well. Have a great day. I'll see you then. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Austin Hill in the Morning. For more information about this, you can visit Austin Hill in the Morning, our program page, on MyFaithRadio.com. That's MyFaithRadio.com.